Galena and the General. You'll find it just over the Mississippi next door to Dubuque. The rolling hills all around hide the place, so when you drop down into Galena, Illinois, it feels like a discovery. It's a 19th century gem where 85% of the buildings are restored and listed on the National Register of Historic Places. Galena, Illinois, the whole of it, is a museum. 9 Civil War generals once called the place home. Not bad for a stop on the river. 8 of them you'll have to Google. But the 18th President of the United States from 1869 to 1877 is a name you'll recognize. His presidency less memorable than his command of the Union Army during the Civil War. General Ulysses S. Grant fought Robert E. Lee and took his sword at Appomattox, and then promptly and boldly and respectfully gave it back. As a warrior, he was, oddly enough, a generous man. As a commander, he was indefatigable. As a strategist, determined, relentless, and disciplined. But when the smoke cleared, Grant championed charity and grace that was much harder for others to give than it seemed to have been for him. He faced the horrors of war head on, just as he had faced peace once the war's cannons went silent. A lion and a lamb somehow coexisted in the soul of Ulysses S. Grant. Go figure. Late in life, when he was suffering from throat cancer, President Grant became a writer when Mark Twain convinced him the world could be a better place if he'd sit down and record his memories. Twain wouldn't take no for an answer, and when a few of Grant's published essays brought rewards, Twain made offers he couldn't refuse. U.S. President number 18 put just about every bit of what strength he had left into the story of his considerable legacy. Not long before those memoirs were finished, the New York World published a story that claimed Grant's memoirs were entirely ghostwritten. While Grant's friends may be asserting that it's his work, the piece said, a nation should not be fooled by the false idea that he is a writer. He is not. In his massively detailed biography of U.S. Grant, American Ulysses, Ron Chernow refutes the charge by describing how hard Grant worked to finish that memoir, even though he was dying. Seems to me you need only to read a letter Grant wrote to the grandmother of James Birdseye McPherson, the second highest ranking Union officer killed during the war. McPherson died at the Battle of Atlanta, and when General Grant, his boss and friend, heard the news, he fell hard into a deep and reverent sadness. Listen to this note. Our nation grieves for one so dear to our nation's cause. To know him was but to love him. It may be some consolation to you, his aged grandmother, to know that every officer and every soldier who served under your grandson felt the highest reverence for his patriotism, his zeal, his great, almost unequaled ability, his amiability, and all the manly virtues that can adorn a commander. And then this. Your bereavement is great, he wrote, but cannot exceed mine. That's not just gorgeous style. That's a heart-spilling hurt over the page. Frederick Douglass, the most prominent African-American of his time, said this of our 18th president. To him, more than any other man, the Negro owes his enfranchisement and the Indian a humane policy. He was accessible to all men. The black soldier was welcome in his tent and the freedman in his house. Little Galena has a thousand reasons to be proud of its most famous resident, as do we.
Oh, Galena, oh, Galena, you're such a pretty little riverboat town, but I wish we could spend more time on the levee
watching the river boats come to town.